Chapter 46. Especially as you preferred to marry her from the dairy, and not at her home, wherever that may be. It would have embarrassed you, and given us no pleasure. Your bothers felt that very strongly. Now it is done, we do not complain, particularly if she suits you for the business you have chosen to follow instead of the ministry of the gospel. Yet I wish I could have seen her first, Angel, or have known a little more about her. We sent her no present of our own, not knowing what would best give her pleasure, but you must suppose it only delayed. Angel, there is no irritation in my mind, or your father's against you for this marriage. But we have thought it much better to reserve our liking for your wife till we could see her. And now you have not brought her. It seems strange. What had happened? He replied that it had been thought best by them that she should to go her parents' home for the present, whilst he came there. I don't mind telling you, dear mother, he said, that I always meant to keep her away from this house till I should feel she could sum with credit to you. But this idea of Brazil is quite a recent one. If I do go, it will be unadvisable for me to take her on this my first journey. She will remain at her mother's till I come back. And I shall not see her before you start? He was afraid they would not. His original plan had been, as he had said, to refrain from bringing her there for some little while, not to wound their prejudices feelings in any way, and for other reasons he had adhered to it. He would have to visit home in the course of a year, if he went out at once, and it would be possible for them to see her, before he started a second time with her. A hastily prepared supper was brought in, and Claire made further exposition of his plans. His mother's disappointment at not seeing the bride still remained with her. Claire's late enthusiasm for Tess had infected her through her maternal sympathies, till she had almost fancied that a good thing could come out of Nazareth, a charming woman out of Talbothay's dairy. She watched her son as he ate. Cannot you describe her? I am sure she is very pretty, Angel. Of that there can be no question, he said, with a zest which covered its bitterness. And that she is pure and virtuous goes without question? Pure and virtuous, of course, she is. I can see her quite distinctly. You said the other day that she was fine in figure, roundly built, had deep red lips like Cupid's bow, dark eyelashes and brows, an immense rope of hair like a ship's cable, and large eyes violety blue a blackish. I did, mother. I quite see her. And living in such seclusion, she naturally had scarce ever seen any young man from the world without till she saw you. Scarcely. You were her first love? Of course. There are worse wives than these simple, rosy-mouthed, robust girls of the farm. Certainly I could have wished well, since my son is to be an agriculturist, it is perhaps but proper that his wife should have been accustomed to an outdoor life. His father was less inquisitive, but when the time came for the chapter from the Bible which was always read before evening prayers, the vicar observed to Mrs. Clare, I think, since Angel has come, that it will be more appropriate to read the 31st of Proverbs than the chapter which we should have had in the usual course of our reading. Yes, certainly, said Mrs. Clare. He words of King Lemuel, she could cite chapter and verse as well as her husband. My dear son, your father has decided to read us the chapter in Proverbs in praise of a virtuous wife. We shall not need to be reminded to apply the words to the absent one. May heaven shield her in all her ways. A lump rose in Claire's throat. The portable lectern was taken out from the corner and set in the middle of the fireplace. The two old servants came in, and Angel's father began to read at the 10th verse of the aforesaid chapter, Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She riseth while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Apostrophe. When prayers were over, his mother said, I could not help thinking how very aptly that chapter your dear father read applied, in some of its particulars, to the woman you have chosen. The perfect woman, you see, was a working woman, not an idler, not a fine lady, but one who used her hands, and her head and her heart for the good of others. Her children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but she excelleth them all. Apostrophe, apostrophe. Well, I wish I could have seen her, angel. Since she is pure and chaste, she would have been refined enough for me. Claire could bear this no longer. His eyes were full of tears, which seemed like drops of molten lead. He bade a quick good night to the sincere and simple souls whom he loved so well, who knew neither the world, the flesh, nor the devil in their own hearts, only as something vague and external to themselves. He went to his own chamber. His mother followed him, and tapped at his door. Claire opened it to discover her standing without, with anxious eyes. Angel, she asked, is there something wrong, that you do away so soon? I am quite sure you are not yourself. I am not, quite, mother, said he. About her? Now, my son, I know it, that I know it is about her. Have you quarreled in these 3 weeks? We have not exactly quarreled, he said. But we have had a difference. Angel, is she a young woman whose history will bear investigation? With a mother's instinct, Mrs. Clare had put her finger on the kind of trouble that would cause such a disquiet as seemed to agitate her son. She is spotless, he replied, and felt that, if it had sent him to eternal hell there, and then he would have told that lie. Then never mind the rest. After all, there are few purer things in nature than an unsullied country maid. Any crudeness of manner which may offend your more educated sense at first, will, I am sure, disappear under the influence of your companionship and tuition. Such terrible sarcasm of blind magnanimity brought home to Claire the secondary perception that he had utterly wrecked his career by this marriage, which had not been among his early thoughts after the disclosure. True, on his own account he cared very little about his career, but he had wished to make it at least a respectable one on account of his parents and brothers. And now as he looked into the candle, its flame dumbly expressed to him that it was made to shine on sensible people, and that it abhorred lighting the face of a dupe and a failure. When his agitation had cooled, he would be at moments incensed with his poor wife for causing a situation in which he was obliged to practice deception on his parents. He almost talked to her in his anger, as if he had been in the room. And then her cooing voice, plaintive in expostulation, disturbed the darkness. The velvet touch of her lips passed over his brow, and he could distinguish in the air the warmth of her breath. This night the woman of his belittling deprecations was thinking how great and good her husband was. But over them both there hung a deeper shade than the shade which Angel Claire perceived, namely, the shade of his own limitations. With all his attempted independence of judgment, this advanced and well-meaning young man, a sample product of the last 25 years, was yet the slave to custom and conventionality when surprised back into her early teachings. No prophet had told him, and he was not prophet enough to tell himself, that essentially this young wife of his was as deserving of the praise of King Lemuel as any other woman endowed with the same dislike of evil, her moral value having to be reckoned, not by achievement but by tendency. Moreover, the figure near at hand suffers on such occasion, because it shows up its sorriness without shade, while vague figures afar off are honored, in that their distance makes artistic virtues of their stains. In considering what Tess was not, he overlooked what she was, and forgot that the defective can be more than the entire. XL, at breakfast Brazil was the topic, and all endeavored to take a hopeful view of Claire's proposed experiment with that country's soil, notwithstanding the discouraging reports of some farm laborers who had emigrated thither, and returned home within the 12 months. After breakfast, Claire went into the little town to wind up such trifling matters as he was concerned with there, and to get from the local bank all the money he possessed. On his way back, he encountered Miss Mercy Chant by the church, from whose walls she seemed to be a sort of emanation. She was carrying an armful of Bibles for her class, and such was her view of life, that events which produced heartache in others wrought beatific smiles upon her, an enviable result, although, in the opinion of Angel, it was obtained by a curiously unnatural sacrifice of humanity to mysticism. As he had learned that he was about to leave England, and observed what an excellent and promising scheme it seemed to be. Yes, it is a likely scheme enough in a commercial sense, no doubt, he replied. But, my dear Mercy, it snaps the continuity of existence. Perhaps a cloister would be preferable. A cloister? Oh, Angel Claire. Well? Why, you wicked man, a cloister implies a monk, and a monk Roman Catholicism. And Roman Catholicism sin, and sin damnation. Thou art in a parlous state, Angel Claire. I glory in my Protestantism, she said severely. Then Claire, thrown by sheer misery into one of the demoniacal moods in which a man does despite to his true principles, called her close to him, and fiendishly whispered in her ear the most heterodox ideas he could think of. His momentary laughter at the horror which appeared on her fair face ceased, when it merged in pain and anxiety for his welfare. Dear Mercy, he said, you must forgive me. I think I am going crazy. She thought that he was, and thus the interview ended, and Claire re-entered the vicarage. With the local banker he deposited the jewels till happier days should arise. He also paid into the bank £30, to be sent to Tess in a few months, as she might require, and wrote to her at her parents' home in Blackmoor Vale, to inform her of what he had done. This amount, with the sum he had already placed in her hands, about £50 he hoped, would be amply sufficient for her wants just at present, particularly as in an emergency as he had been directed to apply to his father. He deemed it best not to put his parents into communication with her, by informing them of her address, and, being unaware of what had really happened to estrange the two, neither his father nor his mother suggested that he should do so. During the day he left the parsonage, for what he had to complete he wished to get done quickly. As the last duty, before leaving this part of England it was necessary for him to call at the Wellbridge farmhouse, in which he had spent with Tess the first 3 days of their marriage, the trifle of rent having to be paid, the key given up of the rooms they had occupied, and two or three small articles fetched away that they had left behind. It was under this roof that the deepest shadow ever thrown upon his life had stretched its gloom over him. Yet when he had unlocked the door of the sitting room and looked into it, the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.